Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We are your friendly guide to the numbers that explain our lives. And I'm Tim Harford. Today... Sleep. We love it. We need it. But whether you're a new parent being woken through the night, or a teenager roused too early for school every day, or even just a hard-working radio presenter trying to hit one book deadline too many, you might feel you're not getting enough of it. Many people do. That is why there's a whole industry of sleep experts. And among the most popular is...
Matt Walker!
Neuroscientist and best-selling author Matthew Walker.
Professor Matthew Walker joins us now.
His book, Why We Sleep, became an international bestseller in 2017.
Thank you very much.
The book reached Moscow.
A lot of my friends were reading it, and they were all recommended it.
That's Alexei Guzy, an independent researcher with a background in economics.
And I figured, well, since this book seems to make such a big impact on a lot of my friends, maybe I should read it and maybe I should learn more about how to sleep well and why we sleep.
He got reading and noticed what he thought were mistakes, so he checked them out and wrote up his findings on his blog. And there do seem to be some claims worth investigating. For example, the idea that the less you sleep, the shorter your lifespan, and that a severe lack of sleep can kill you. First, here's Professor Matthew Walker on a TV show called Good Morning Britain.
There is a global sleep loss epidemic, and I wish those were my own words, but they are the words of the World Health Organization.
The claim is in the book too. Search online and it comes up in various newspapers and websites, many linking to each other. Search for the original source, however, and you'll find what Alexei found.
This appears to be false. They never declared any sleep loss epidemics.
We checked, and indeed the World Health Organization told us they had made no such declaration. So we asked Matthew Walker to explain himself. He said he'd misremembered. A respected organisation did sound the alarm, but it wasn't the WHO, it was the US Centers for Disease Control, which says that sleep disorders are so pervasive in the United States that they now constitute a public health epidemic.
And that was also verified by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. The attribution of that should not be to the World Health Organization, and so that misattribution needs to be corrected in the book.
So he's put his hand up on that one. What about the other claims?
Walker wrote that the shorter you sleep, the shorter your lifespan.
Matthew Walker uses almost those exact words in his book. The shorter your sleep, he writes, the shorter your life. Alexei argues that it's more complicated because there are also studies that show an association between a shorter lifespan and longer amounts of sleep. According to this research, sleeping 8 hours and sleeping 4 hours has the same impact. Both have a higher risk of a shorter life.
It seems to contradict what Walker writes, where he says that higher sleep is always associated with lower mortality.
Professor Walker acknowledges these findings.
Can we get too much sleep? The book actually goes on to speak about that. I think that may be possible. But I also don't think that should be necessarily surprising, because it seems to be the case for the other three main critical ingredients of life, food, oxygen, and water. Can you overeat? Can you undereat? So does sleep follow that same U-shaped function? It does seem to, in terms of mortality risk.
Matthew Walker says it's important to note that these findings about the link between sleep duration and longevity come from population studies, not clinical trials. In other words, we're talking about correlation rather than causation. And what does that mean? Well, if you're sleeping 10 hours a night or 4 hours a night, perhaps that might damage your health, but maybe the causation goes the other way. If you have a serious health problem that's exhausting, so you sleep a lot, or it's painful and it keeps waking you. The unusual sleep patterns are correlated with your illness, but they don't cause the illness. It's the other way around. How much sleep should you be getting? The UK's National Health Service recommends between 6 and 9 hours a night for adults. The The US Centers for Disease Control and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine both suggest 7 hours. Of course, I am not a doctor, so please don't rely on a radio program for medical advice. The next claim we're going to try to unpick is quite dramatic, that a severe lack of sleep can kill you. There is a very rare genetic disorder called fatal familial insomnia. It produces toxic proteins that attack nerve cells in the brain, eventually leading to brain damage.
Walker claims that several months into the disease course, the patient stops sleeping altogether, and that after 12 to 18 months of no sleep, the patient dies, and that therefore this disorder asserts that a lack of sleep can kill a human being.
Alexei says the statement is irresponsible. You could scare people who have trouble sleeping.
He wanted to show how sleep can be deadly directly. This disease is his only example of sleep leading directly to death. No person in recorded history has actually died due to lack of sleep. The longest time with no sleep is 11 days. That person was a high school student in the US. He was really, really sleepy. He started seeing some hallucinations, but at the end of 11 days, he fell asleep. He slept longer than usual, but then there weren't any apparent long-term negative effects.
But Matthew Walker's not going to concede this one. He says research on animals backs him up. For example, studies in rats have shown that total sleep deprivation leads to death in 16 to 20 days.
We also know that the National Organization of Rare Diseases states that for fatal familial insomnia, the lack of sleep leads to physical and mental deterioration, and the disease ultimately progresses to coma and death.
So Alexei says no one has died from lack of sleep, and Matthew Walker says they have. You'd think this would be easy to sort out, but it's not. With fatal familial insomnia, the question is whether it's the lack of sleep or the genetic disorder that causes death. And fatal familial insomnia is itself so rare that it doesn't have a statistical code in the US database of deaths. So official statistics can't tell us whether anyone has died of the condition in the last 20 years. I think it's fair to say that there are no obvious implications of this rare disease for how early you or I should be putting on our pyjamas and turning off the bedside light. The professor says he's going to post a full response to some of the issues raised by Alexei Guzy in the next couple of months. Alexei says,
I want to emphasize that the reason I care about all of the errors in the book is that it claims not to be just a pop science book. It claims to be scientifically accurate, and it is cited in academic literature. And because it claims to be scientifically accurate, it has a responsibility to readers to report facts as they are and to not exaggerate things.
There is a collection of people who struggle with sleep and are most anxious about it. And for those individuals, their anxiety may understandably increase when reading about the impact of insufficient sleep. And so I think there is some cause for thought regarding a cautionary note to that effect in the preface of the book in future editions.
And that is all we have time for on More or Less this week. We hope we haven't put you to sleep. Thoughts, comments, please write to us at moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We will be back next week. Until then, goodbye.